Amen. If you want to read this in your Bible, I am going to read a passage from Deuteronomy, chapter 26, verses 1 to 11, just to start. And as you're finding that passage, the context of this is a whole lot of history has happened. And Adam and Eve, and, you know, 1,000 years of history, Noah and the flood, hundreds of years of history, and then Abraham, this guy who was a bit of a vagabond, living out in Ur, which is now where Babylon is, in Iraq. He's living over in this little corner of the world, minding his own business, and God reveals himself to him and calls him to go on a journey. And the Bible says that he listened to God, and he went out not knowing exactly where he was going to go. And God said, "I get up and go, and I will show you the land that I've given to you." So off he goes on his wanderings, and he settles down in a land. He has children, and those children have children, and they become a great nation. Called the nation of Israel. And then hard times fall on Israel, and they end up having to go into Egypt through the miraculous interventions of God, and they end up being in Egypt for over 400 years. And then God brings them back into their own land, and what you're about to read are some of the final instructions that their leader, who God had put over them, Moses, is giving to them in the land. As they've come into the land, and they're about to possess what God has given them, and he's giving them these instructions. And the reason why I chose this passage is this is one of the first major passages in the Bible where God sets a clear revelation of who we are in relationship to him in the area of thanksgiving and why we should give thanks. And I want to read a little teeny bit of this to you, then I want to just talk about it a little bit. It's 26:1, Deuteronomy 26:1, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. So they're about to cross over into their inheritance. They haven't come into the land yet. He's giving them instructions. And he says, when you have entered the land the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance and have taken possession of it and settled in it, take some of the first fruits of all that you produce from the soil of the land the Lord your God is giving you and put them in a basket. Then go to the place your Lord will choose as a dwelling for his name, and say to the priest in the office of a priest at that time, say to them, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the land the Lord swore to our forefathers to give us. The priest will then take the basket from your hands and set it down in front of the altar of the Lord your God. Then you shall declare before the Lord, my father was a wandering Aramean, and he went down into Egypt with a few people and lived there and became a great nation, powerful and numerous. But the Egyptians mistreated us and made us suffer, putting us to hard labor. Then we cried out to the Lord and the God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our misery, toil, and oppression. And so the Lord brought us out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great terror and with miraculous signs and wonders. And he brought us to this place, and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now I bring the first fruits of the soil that you, O Lord, have given me. Place the basket before the Lord your God and bow down before him. And you and the priests and the foreigners that are among you shall rejoice in all the good things that the Lord your God has given to you and your household. I'm going to comment on that in just a minute or two. Some of you remember the show Roots, which was originally a book, and it was written by a man named Alex Haley, and he had a very unusual picture on the wall of his office, and it was a picture of a turtle on top of a fence post. And one day someone came in and asked why he had this kind of unusual picture on his wall of this turtle sitting on top of a fence post. And he answered and he said, every time I write something significant, every time I read my words and I think they're wonderful, and I begin to feel proud of myself, then I look at the turtle on top of the fence post and remember, he didn't get there on his own. He had help. This is the basis of Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is the recognition that we had help. It's the recognition that we didn't get where we are on our own strength. It wasn't by our own might. It wasn't by something that we did that has got us where we are. But ultimately, there was something far greater, someone far greater than us, that has got us to the place where we are today. We had help. And God is the one who provided everything that we are and everything that we have, every blessing that has brought us to the place we are today. As much as the farmer, talking about farmers, carefully prepares the ground and lays out the furrows and then plants the seed, waters it, fertilizes it, pulls the weeds out around it so that the life of that seed will not be choked out, and with his own sweat and effort, a little spout begins to grow to become fruits and vegetables that can sustain the life of the farmer's family. As much as he is careful to do all these things, everything the farmer is and has comes from a source outside of himself that is infinitely greater than him. I want to kind of just fill this picture in for you a little bit. The farmer can produce nothing by himself. And he's talking to these Israelites about taking the fruit of the soil. Okay? He's talking about farmers who've been given a land and who've been told by God, this is yours, now plant. Okay? Plant and produce on this land. But after everything's said and done, after you've got the first fruits of your crop, this is what I want you to do. I want you to take a basket of that, and I want you to bring it into the house of the Lord, and I want you to rehearse all the things that God has done to get you to the place where you are today. That's the message behind that story. I want you to rehearse before the Lord when you bring the first fruits of what God has enabled you to produce. Rehearse all the things in your mind and your heart that God did to get you where you are today, so that when you stand there with that basket, you understand you didn't get that by your own strength. You got it because God led you through history, through time and through circumstances and through life, and every single thing that you are and every single thing that you have came from him. When you offer that, and then you bow down. You see, there's a revelation in this. I didn't get this by my own strength. I got it from God. So let me just kind of fill that in a little teeny bit. The farmer can produce nothing by himself. Literally, everything he has to produce a harvest has been given to him by God. The farmer himself is an infinitely complex being who is dependent on billions of things operating perfectly in order for him to even exist. I'm talking about the complexity of our bodies, all the things that, if you want to use that term, conspired in the heart of God to produce you as a human being. Every process of your body, all the chemicals that had to come together, the DNA inside you that had to be absolutely perfectly formed in order for a single cell in your body to morph into all the different kinds of cells in your body that make you, and all the functioning, the sinew, the bone, the systems of your body to enable you to take in food, and the systems of your body that enable you to get rid of waste in your body. All the things that are put together, the complexities of this human system of yours that allows you to think and feel and make choices and act and to control the body that you have in order to take the seed that is in your hand, even to know what to do with the seed and what would happen if you put it in the ground. All of these things were given to us by God and given to that farmer before he even does a single thing with that seed. His whole being is dependent on God before he even starts the process. Okay? He doesn't have the ability to create his own life, even his own life. None of us created our own life. We don't have that ability. We came into existence as a being with no power or no thought of our own. We exist today as beings because someone else thought, and someone else designed, and someone else planned, and someone else chose and set a direction for us to become what we are. He doesn't have the ability to create his own life. He doesn't even have the ability to sustain his own life. Take away any number of the most basic elements for life, even protection, and every human being can die within a couple seconds or a couple minutes. He doesn't have the ability to sustain his own life. The farmer who's about to plant the seed came into existence by a power greater than himself and is sustained in existence by all the things that God has set in order in the universe in order to maintain and sustain life. It all comes from God. All that he needs to live must be given to him every single day, hour by hour. Every ability he has mentally and physically didn't originate with him. It was put into his design by God. The seed that the farmer holds in his hand is a miracle. Okay? Led into the land of promise, a land flowing with milk and honey. Didn't get there by his own design, but God ordered it in a huge history from one human being who he said would become a great nation, and all the conflicts and difficulties that they went through, where God led them into that place where now they were about to stand upon a land that was their inheritance. And when they stood on that land and all the miracles that had to take place, all the things that God had to hold in existence in order for that one life to stand on that ground on that day with a seed in his hand, about to put that seed in the ground. All of those miracles, amazing miracles, come from someone greater than the farmer. And he holds the seed in his hand. And the seed that he holds in his hand is a miracle in itself. Everything about that seed is a miracle. The DNA that holds the design for that little seed to become a full-grown plant that is designed to draw nutrients from the ground and energy from the sun, and the use of all the chemical things that make that plant operate, the H2O, the water that is absolutely essential as the transport device for the nutrients to be taken out of the ground, and the root systems that are designed to be able to take earth and minerals and various things like that and to change their complex chemical structures and turn them into a form that the plant can transport from its roots up into its systems and build a plant according to the design that's in the DNA of that plant, so that that plant will develop leaves that can take the energy from the sun and through what's the process? Photosynthesis. Take the energy of the sun and turn that energy into a form that the plant can use to create life. And ultimately, on that plant, to be able to produce fruit. And all of these things that a human being can take and cut off that fruit or cut off those branches, cut off those leaves, and they're able to sustain us. It is a miracle. Okay? It's a miracle that a seed stays in the form of a seed, a dormant, living thing, until it is put in the ground, in the earth, and until all of the conditions of that seed are absolutely perfect, the right kind of moisture, the right kind of warmth from the sun, nothing will happen. It stays as a seed. You can put it in a jar on your shelf, and you can watch it year after year, and it'll stay in that form until you take it out and you put it in the ground. And then all those conditions have to be right. And then that little seed breaks out. And in its design, it doesn't point itself into the ground and grow into the ground. It points itself up toward the light where the heat is coming from. Even in the dirt, it points itself toward the heat. All of these things designed into that plant in order to produce it, to produce this living thing that is capable of sustaining life. All in the seed that is in the farmer's hand. And listen to this. He doesn't have power or control of any of those things. They all come from someone greater than himself. You see, he plants it in the ground, it grows up, and he cannot say, I did this. Because all he did was prepare the ground and hopefully make some environmental conditions, you know, optimal. But the miracle is in God. The miracle is in the created thing and what it's designed to do. It was given by God. And so when he brings in his harvest at the end of the year and he fills up his barns, and in pride he exalts himself at the great thing that he has done and does not acknowledge God at all and thinks that he is the one who has produced all these things in his life. Now, I'm just being honest with you, but can you see how great an affront that is to God when his created beings who are designed to know him and experience him don't even acknowledge who he is? And that's the issue that he's getting at with them in this passage. He's saying, when you come into this place and when you've done all these things, remember who got you there. Bow down! Bow down! Bow your life! Lower your life, put it on the ground, and recognize that everything came from someone outside of yourself. The whole thing. You see, that's what worship is, guys. Worship's not, you know, Caleb getting up there and pounding on the drum and playing the guitar and a few other things happening. That's part of it. But what worship is, it's the heart that says, I know that I am where I am today because something far more powerful, someone far more infinitely powerful has given me every single thing that I have. And because of that, I will bow down. And the word worship, in both the Greek and the Hebrew language, the word in the Greek is proskuneo, and it literally means to bow, to prostrate. We get our English word, prostrate, from the word proskuneo. We bow down in recognition of how we got where we are, that we were sustained by him, that he gave us life, that everything we did, even the ability to do the things we did, came from him. That's where worship comes from. That's what's really going on. It's an interaction between a created being and his creator, where I say who I am, and I say who he is. and who I am in relationship to him. I could tell you a lot more about the seed, but I'm starting to get a bit behind already. The farmer can look to the skies and pray for the early and the latter rains, without it, which he'll have no crop at all. Without the sun that comes up each day that warms the ground, the seed will have no life in it. See, in the end, in order for that thing to come, God has to do it. God has to control all of these external things in order for that life to come. So here in Deuteronomy, God is bringing an understanding to those he has revealed himself to, children of Israel. And he says to them, you came from that vagabond, Abraham and Sarah. You wandered in the wilderness, not knowing where you were going. And God said to them, get out of the place where you are to the land that I'll show you. And God led them. God led them. And this one man became a great nation. And here you are today, standing in this nation, because I caused life to spring forth out of that one seed, Abraham. Your enemies enslaved you. They persecuted you. They oppressed you. But God protected you. And he brought you out with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Now, I could say to every person in this room today, you don't even know. Some of you do know because you were there and you understood what was happening. But a lot of the things that happened to us, we have no idea all the ways in which God protected us. Sometimes God shows us his protection. I worked in a sawmill when I first became a Christian. And as a young, very, very young Christian working in the sawmill, and I would worship God, you know, as this baby Christian discovering who God was. I loved being in the sawmill because it was so noisy. I could sing at the top of my lungs, you know, earphones on. And one day, the mill had backed up all the way, as sometimes happens when something breaks down in the far end of the mill. Everybody behind just keeps on piling it up until the whole mill is completely full, all the way back to the debarker. And everything stops until whatever needs to be fixed is fixed, and then it slowly begins to progress. Well, that happened on one particular day for me. And I waited until everything ahead of me was all completely done, and there was a pile of boards. My job was to operate the gate, and the gate, basically, the guy who operates the gate separates the boards, some boards that have to go back and be cut again, some boards that are good enough to be exported go out one side, some boards that are for domestic go out the other way, and some go to a different kind of trimmer, and all you do is open these gates and you move this wood where it's supposed to go, pushing buttons, moving boards. And this pile was completely piled up. And there was a green 2x4 that was underneath the pile. And I don't know how it happened exactly, but the far end of it was underneath the pile. And it had somehow got between two of the gates. So it was over top of one of the gates and underneath the gate that was right in front of me. And I accidentally pushed the wrong button. Rather than taking it out of that, I pushed the button that opened the gate, and the 2x4 swung out from that gate like a bow. It was bowed right over, and as soon as I popped the gate, the far end stayed under the pile, and the end that was closest to me swung past my face, and it clipped the end of my nose. Now, you can imagine, you know, if a person hit you in the face with a baseball bat, you know, that would do some damage. Well, here you have a green 2x4 that is completely bowed like a bow, and it's springing out and swinging out, and it clipped the end of my nose, and it went right across the mill and went right through a 1-inch plywood wall, stuck into the wall on that side of the building. And it severed the little teeny film of skin that covers the cartilage in my nose. And it didn't even bleed. But I realized in that second that had my head been 2 inches farther forward, it would have taken the front of my face right off. Or a little bit farther forward, it could have literally knocked my head right off of my body. And no one saw, no one knew, and I was trembling. I could hardly even you know, work for almost an hour. I was the shock of what had just happened. But for me, it was one of those instances in life that I saw the protection of God. But, you know, you can never know, and we probably will never know until we go to be with the Lord, the millions of circumstances that God has orchestrated to keep you safe and keep you out of trouble. And he's watched over your life, and he's watched over the circumstances, the dangers, the things, to set the timings in place just to keep you alive. You are here today because God has enabled you to be here. Now, God saw your needs, he saw your needs, and he brought you into a land that is flowing with milk and honey. The provision that you have today has been given to you by God. God planted you here in a land of plenty, and he has provided all that you need. Then he says to them, he says, I've given you life in abundance. Now take the first fruit, the first fruits of all that plenty, even your own heart and your life. You understand what I'm talking about here? The Bible says we present ourselves unto God a living sacrifice. And this principle that's found in the Old Testament is repeated in the New Testament. The New Testament church, the Bible says in the book of Acts, they set aside the first fruits of all their increase on the first day of the week. You see, God hasn't changed this pattern. There's still the worship that happens when we take the first fruits. We acknowledge God. We acknowledge the provision of God by taking the first fruits and offering it unto the Lord. And we declare today that the Lord our God has brought us into the land that he swore. And in doing so, we are declaring that we're the turtle on top of the fence post. I didn't get here by my own steam. I got here by the power of God. And I just want to say to you today, I'm going to pass over some of this for sake of time. Romans chapter 1 says a little bit about how God thinks about when those that he has created don't acknowledge him. In Romans 1, it says, what may be known of God is revealed to everyone, because God has shown it to us. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes are clearly seen, and they're understood by the things that are made. In other words, God has put into the creation itself a revelation of himself. He's shown us his infinite complexity. He's shown us his infinite greatness and power. And he's shown us his character, his attributes in the creation itself. And then he talks about people who... he says, even his eternal power in God is revealed, so that everyone is without excuse. Because though they knew God, they did not glorify him as God. Now, listen to these words. They wouldn't glorify God as God. They wouldn't acknowledge the power that all this came from. And neither were they thankful. Wow. See, everything came to us from him. But no thanks. But those who see him, those who know who he is, those who understand what's really going on in the universe and how they came to be who they are, how they got where they are, those people praise. Those people worship. They bow down and they give thanks. Those who see him as he really is. And then he says to them, at the very end of that passage, he says, and you and the priests and the foreigners that are among you, rejoice in all the good things the Lord your God has given to you and to your household. And I'm going to close today with Psalm 100. And this is actually the last of a series of psalms that all talk about thanksgiving and praise unto the Lord. It says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. He's the one who did this. Why come to him with thanks? Why bring your praise before him? Why worship him with gladness? Why shout before him? Because we know who he is. We know what's really going on. We know how we got here. We know what's really happening. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us. And we are his. We are his people. Not only were we created, but we were created by him, for him. He created us for himself. We are the sheep of his pasture. And that image, the sheep of his pasture, is the image of God leading us, providing for us, you know, security and safety and providence, all coming from his hand. We are the sheep of his pasture. Therefore, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. Give thanks unto him. Praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. This is Thanksgiving weekend, and I want to encourage you to remember the Lord. Remember how you got where you are today. And consider how you got where you are today. And when you bow your head with your family over these Thanksgiving dinners and you join hands with whoever happens to be beside you and you bow before him, you know, don't just thank God for the turkey. Thank God for every single thing that he has done, the infinite number of things that he has brought together to give you your life and to give you your future and to provide for you. And to make you his own. Let's pray. Father, I thank you today for who you are. Thank you today, Jesus, for opening our eyes to see how we got to this place and all the things, God, that you have done to make us your own and to enable us to have life. But not just physical life, spiritual life, life in you. Knowing you, experiencing you, walking with you, having relationship with you. Thank you for our families, God. Lord, thank you for the parents that brought us into the world. Thank you for the brothers and sisters and family members that you surrounded us with. Thank you, God, for the roofs over our heads and the food on our table, the clothes on our backs, the ability to work, the ability to think, the ability to operate in this life. It all comes from you. It all comes from you. Thank you, God, for designing us the way you have. Thank you, God, for making the creation around us the way it is. Lord, that every need that we have can be supplied. And thank you, Jesus, for you yourself being bread for our hearts and bread for our souls, God, and giving us manna from heaven, bread from heaven, you, for giving us you. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us you. Today, we bow. Today, we bow. We bow in acknowledgement. We bow in recognition that we are where we are. We are who we are. And we have what we have, not by our own strength, but because of you. And we give you thanks. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Please feel free to share this message with others, but do not sell or alter the content in any way without the permission of the Rock Christian Community.